I'm the pastor. I really like that song. But what we're going to talk about briefly today is the first part of what every one of us are going to need if we're going to live a life of faith the rest of our lives. You know, and if you're not, if you're just getting started in this life of faith, that's great. Or if you're restarting or what I call re-upping in this life of faith, wherever you're at, you know, I was thinking this, you know, the past couple, 3 weeks, what's the one sentence that I would give you to coach in this life of faith? And I think if I had to boil it down to one sentence to answering this question, how do I live this life of faith, it would be this, and it's actually your title, to live by God's promises. To live by God's promises in your outline. And that's how you live a life of faith. To living a life of faith is basically about what you lean on. You know, kind of like a chair. And if you have faith in that chair, you lean on it. You sit on it. You trust that you won't fall down. And when you lean on God, you trust in Him. You have faith that what you're leaning on, that you can trust God and that you won't fall down. It just means you lean on His promises. That's basically what it is, leaning on His promises. But here's what I found out after a long time, because I was wrong for a long time, and I finally made this a discovery that faith isn't an attitude. Faith is an action. Faith is a decision. It's a step. This life of faith is a decision. Among all things that you could lean on in this world, you made a decision to lean on God's promises. And that's what faith is. It's a decision that you and I make. And the great thing about this is God is trustworthy. You and I can count on His promises when we lean on them. Hebrews 10:23 says, let's keep a firm grip on the promises that keep us going. God always keeps His word. Always keeps His word. God ain't like us. You and I, we make promises. And we intend to keep them. But sometimes we can't, because we don't have the ability. I remember I broke some promises to my kids. You know why? I forgot. I just forgot. It wasn't intentional. I just forgot. But God always keeps His promises. And the Bible has a lot to say about that. 1 Corinthians 1:9 says, God faithfully keeps His promises. He keeps His promises because He's God. He keeps His promises because it's His character. He keeps His promises because He is eternal. He can't forget. I thought that'd be wonderful to not be able to not forget. And, you know, not be selective forgetting, but just forget. He just can't forget. He can't do it. He is faithful and He never changes. He is all powerful. He's loving and He's going to keep His promises. And when you live a life based on God's promises, you're living a very powerful life. A very powerful life. You know, and I can in confidence say, I live a very powerful life because my life is based on His promises. You live a very powerful life because it's based on His promises. Guys, there's thousands of promises in the Bible. I've told you before, over 7,000. Grab hold of one of them. Now, we're going to talk about one of them today and next week. He gave us these promises so that we could live a life of faith. They're for you and to me to help us. Today, we're going to talk about a promise that Jesus made in the book of Matthew, how you and I can face some of the most difficult situations in this life. But also in this promise, He tells us how to live out this life of, of faith and trust God for all the promises that he has. And this is a big promise that Jesus is about to give us in Matthew 17. Look here, 17:20. I tell you the truth. If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, I'm missing a word in there. If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, I like this part right here, move from here to there. And it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. Jesus gives this mountain moving promise. You know, the truth is every one of us face mountains in our lives. Every blasted one of us face mountains. You know what the definition of a mountain is? Something too big to move. Something too big to move. If it's too big to move, then you got a mountain. Amen? If it's too big to move, you got a mountain. You got immovable people in your life. Amen? I'm kin to some of them. Yeah. A lot of you people think you got some immovable people in your life. Some of you guys got some impossible tasks that you're facing next week, or haven't you? That you believe is impossible. And they're a mountain. Some of you guys even think you got an unsolvable problem. Amen? It's a mountain. You got mountains in your life. It might be that person that you feel like that you're never, ever going to be able to forgive them. And that's a mountain in your life. It might be that person that you think's never going to change. It might be a circumstance that you feel like that you're in that's never going to change. That's a mountain in your life. It might be a dream that at one time you thought could happen, but not now. You got a mountain in your life. It could be that habit that you're trying to break right now. That habit that you're trying to change. Oh, I'm never going to quit. I'm never going to change. You got a mountain in your life. It could be some challenge that you're facing right now. You're just not up to it. There's all kinds of mountains in your life. Something that you believe is too big to move is a mountain. But Jesus said, I'm going to move it from here to there. With just a little bit of faith. Mustard seed faith. Just looks too big. Well, how does a mountain get moved? Jesus said, here's the promise. Trust with faith small as a mustard seed. And God will move mountains. What he's talking about here is how do you face your biggest problems. He's talking about how do you live up to your biggest opportunities. Matthew 17, I wish they'd just call it Mountain Moving 101. We fixing to go to class. Mountain Moving 101. When you face a mountain, you got to do two things. Two things. We're only going to talk about one this morning. We'll talk about the last one this week. Both of them are very, very important. Now, this one I want you to think about. I want you to really meditate on until I see you again. Then we're going to talk about the second action point. But let's write this down. It ain't but one blank. I know that's going to disappoint some of you blank filler-inners. I'm going to find out the technical word for that. But you got here it is, number one. You gotta think big. You gotta think. Sorry about that. THINK. You gotta think big, all right? Well, you ain't never rode through Rockmart. You gotta think big. If you're gonna move mountains, y'all, I describe some of those mountains that you may have in your life, and you say, I got that mountain, Jim. I got somebody I just can't forgive. That's a mountain. I got a challenge at work that I just can't do. I got, you know, whatever your mountain is, you got to think big. That's the first thing, because a mountain is big. Amen? You got to think big. When you start to think big, nothing will be impossible to you. I wanted to ask you something real quick. I'm asking you this several times. What is your personal Mount Everest? What is your personal Mount Everest? What's the problem that's too big for you to solve? You put that in your mind right now. What's the challenge that is seemingly too big for you to take on? Whatever you're thinking about right now, I want to ask you, whatever's going through your mind, I want to ask you this. Is it too big for God? Of course not. It is not too big for God. Nothing is too big for God. It might be too big for you, but not for God. Amen? Nothing too big for God. So I want us to focus, and I want us to, whatever, let's stop right now. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that our minds are focused on you and that you're free from clutter from the outside world just for a few moments. And that we be focused on you and your promises and your mountain moving. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. We're going to focus. What is the biggest mountain in your life? What is it? What's the thing that you can't imagine moving, but what can you imagine God moving in your life right now? And when you start doing that, you start thinking with the eyes of faith. With the eyes of faith and with the thoughts of faith. So why not just right now, this morning, think really big. Think really, really. I know, guys, thinking big ain't as easy as it sounds. I'm a dreamer. My wife can tell you I'm a dreamer. And thinking big lots of times ain't so easy. And I'm going to tell you why. I think there's three primary reasons why thinking big is hard. I think there's three reasons that get in the way. Write these down. The first thing that gets in the way is this: our ego. Now, one of these really bothers me, or one of these things I struggle with. I'll just let you figure that out. It don't really matter. But ego. When we tend to think big, we tend to think of ourselves. A lot of times when we think big, we think selfishly. We really do. We tend to think about things we want. When we think big, we tend to think about things that we need. You know, maybe a bigger salary, or bigger house, or a bigger job, or a newer car. We tend to think big like that. I want to tell you guys, God may want those things in your life, but I'm telling you this, it ain't big enough. Selfish big things ain't big enough. I told you last week, 7.2 billion people in this world. And the biggest thing you can think about is you. That ain't big enough. That ain't big enough. It just ain't big enough. God wants to make an impact with your life and my life all around the world. All around the world. He wants to use you to change other people. So we got to get our egos out of the way. That they can, it ain't big enough if it's all about you. It's just not. Changing other people is the biggest and greatest thing that God wants you and me to do. And so we got to start thinking beyond ourselves. Amen? That's tough, I know it is. And about what God wants to do with our life. That's where we got to go. And our ego can get in the way. Second thing that gets in the way is fears. False evidence appearing real. I'm not even going to worry about you figuring it out. This is my biggest stumbling block. Fears can get in the way. You know, if I start thinking big, and you know, I've done this before. I love they sang that song too. You can end with that other song. A lot of times when I start thinking big, I start thinking about disappointment. You said something about disappointment in that song. And as a matter of fact, y'all just finish whatever song you want to. I'm messing everything up. But if you start thinking big, you're going to face disappointment in your life. You're going to face it. I'll just tell you that. You're going to face disappointment in your life. But I'm going to tell you this. If you want to just live in a safe zone and never think big, you're going to miss out.
Amen.
You're going to miss out. You can just think about little old you all you want to and do that. But if you don't want to think big, you're going to miss out on some of the greatest things that God wants to do through your life. You really are. I want you to write this down. I underlined it. I wished I'd put it on the screen, but I want you to write this down. I want you to go back and look at this. Unless you put yourself in a place where you might be disappointed, you're going to live less than the life that God has designed you to live. Let me say it one more time. Unless you put yourself in a place where you might be disappointed, you're going to live less than the life that God designed you to live. Amen?
Amen.
If you didn't get that, get with me after the service, all right? I'm telling you, I want you to look at that. Living in the safe zone ain't no good. It's immobilizing to be afraid. God will be with you in every disappointment. Every disappointment. So don't let the fear of disappointment stop you. Well, we got ego and fear in the way. We got one more. Failure. Failure. Our failure's getting away. Tried it before and we just fell flat on our face. Failure's getting away. So why do I want to do that again? Why do I want another t-shirt? I'm going to tell you why. Because lots of times, and that song said this too, out of our failures, God does the greatest things. Out of our failures, he does the greatest thing just on the other side of it. Just on the other side of the failure, he shows up and does the greatest things. So when you look at these three problems, ego, fear, failure, there's an answer to all of these three. God's promises. God's promises. And when we start to focus on God's promises, you don't base it on your ability. You don't base it on your ability. You focus it on his promises. You begin to think a new way. Got that new revival. You think different. And if you don't know about God's promises, we'll talk about that here in a little bit. But we start to think of a new way of evaluating life. And here's what I want to tell you. Instead of if it's, this is about training your mind. Instead of thinking about what you're confident that you can do, start thinking about what you're confident that God wants done. That make any sense? Instead of thinking about how confident you are about your ability and what you can do, start thinking about what God wants done. It's a whole new mindset. And I'm going to tell you something. God is going to move a mountain that way. He's going to move a mountain. Mountains get moved from here to there. When we start by thinking big. So what's the biggest thing that you can imagine in your life right now? This mountain that needs moving. The Bible tells us what he wants to do and also how he wants to do it. Ephesians 3:20. Y'all know, those of you that are around me some know that I've been stuck on this verse for 3 or 4 weeks. God can do anything. You know. Far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. He does it not by pushing us around, but by working within us more than we can imagine. He works with even you and me. even you and me within us, as goofy as y'all are. He works with y'all and me. I like it that he doesn't push us, that he works within us. Doesn't push us. His will be done. The question is, do we want to be a part of it? If you don't do your part will simply go undone. But he is willing and able, and he's going to do more than we ever imagined that we could ever do on our own. God wants to work in our lives. He wants to do it so people can look at you and go, God has to be a part of that, because there ain't no way he or she could have done this on their own. I get that all the time being your pastor. I don't say it to make myself look bad, because people say, ain't no way Jim could have done that. Amen. Jim ain't smart enough. Jim ain't funny enough. Jim don't speak good enough. God gets the credit. God gets the credit. That's why David's up here telling you, you know who gets the credit for that $23,000? God gets the credit. God gets the credit. One of you guys know it's been my dream to have to open up a diner, and that's about to come into fruition, and it's been a dream 6-7 years. And a man came to the diner this week that knows me very well. He said, I gotta know, Jim, how you doing this? I know you couldn't have done this on your own. I said, well, you know you're right. And I said, I hate to sound like a preacher, I really do. I don't like it. I said, I really don't want to sound like a preacher. I said, but you're exactly right. I couldn't have done this on my own. God has performed so many miracle after miracle and opened so many doors. I just can't tell you how much I do have a partner in the Lord. I said, I couldn't have done it on my own. And you know, I'm not a whatever it is, a diner owner. I will be, because God has given me the dream. It's more about the people than it is about the food. Better be glad of that. God has given me a vision. It's about people, bringing them together. So no, I couldn't have done it on my own. You see, and when that happens, God is glorified. When God uses you to do something that you couldn't do with your ability, he gets glorified. And the world gets to see what God is like. The world gets to see what kind of power that God has. When your abilities are limited, his ain't. So if you're still having a hard time thinking about how God wants to big things in your life, let me give you one more verse, John 14:12. I can guarantee this truth. Those who believe in me will do the things that I am doing. They will do even greater things because I'm going to the Father. Now, I'm going to tell you something about this verse. I couldn't hardly get my mind around it. Jesus said, you guys are going to be doing greater things than he did. That's what he said. What he's saying is you guys, the church, is going to do greater things than what he did. Amen? That's why we're building boys' dormitories. That's why we're building women's things in Afghanistan. Chicken coops. Wells. All over the world. God is using y'all. That's why we're feeding people in Bartow County. That's why we're saving babies' lives and families. That's why we're building walls over there today at 3 o'clock. That's why. That's why. We can't look at it as nothing else but furthering the gospel of Jesus Christ and touching the lives of people and making them better and changing the world. Greater things than Jesus ever did. Just working together. Just working together. That's fun. That makes you smile. That really does. So what's your biggest dream? What's your biggest dream? Now, I know some of you, when we talk about big things, big dreams, some of you are thrilled about it because you're a dreamer like me, aren't you? And some of you are not. You're not thrilled but some of you that dream big, you're wired this way to think big. But I want to caution you big dreamers, because I have to caution myself. Be careful with your pride. Big dreamers, you better connect to God with those dreams, not just yourself. Not just yourself. Now, some folks are in here, they're okay with the way things are. And you're just simply not enjoying this lesson right now. You're sitting there thinking, I got enough to do. I got enough to do. Well, I got news for you. God wants to do some great things in your life too. He wants to do some great things in your life too. God loves to work in the lives of people who think they don't want to do anything big. Who think they can't do nothing big. Who think that God can't do nothing big in their life. You remember Abraham? Moses? Do you know a little girl named Mary? Gideon? They all thought that God couldn't do nothing big in their life either. Look them up. They did big things. Big things. God loves to work in the lives of people who aren't sure that He can. He does. Whichever camp you're in, God has the same answer. Let me read the last verse. Not that we are adequate in ourselves to consider anything as coming from ourselves. But our adequacy is from where? That's right. That's where our adequacy comes from. Paul, I love the way Paul wrote this. He's humble, but he's confident. He's not adequate in himself. His adequacy comes from God. I want you to write this down. We got to have this ability right here. These two words. We got to be confidently humble. Confidently humble. When you put these two things in a person's life, you see God do great things. Confidently humble. God can make you and me adequate. What's the biggest thing that you can imagine God doing in your life? Now, there's a big spot right here. Below there. I want you to write it down. I've asked this question a bunch of times during this sermon. What is the big thing in your life? I want you to write it down. It might have to do with a person. It might have to do with a situation. It might have to do with a circumstance. I want you to write it down. I want you to wonder and know, ask how Jesus is going to move that mountain. And you got to start by thinking big. I went back to look at my journal. How many people journal? Four people journaling here. Journaling is powerful. It's powerful. I went back to my journal. Past couple of days, and I read it. I saw I wrote my prayers down. I was thinking big. I started praying for Sarah's husband many years ago, and I wrote it down. I was walking land with him yesterday as they bought their house, or wanted to buy some land. I thought I prayed for him. Wasn't exactly as I thought, but I prayed for him. Because you know why? He's better than I thought. Amen. He's more than I imagined. 2012, I started writing down my prayers for a diner. I want to start a restaurant, Lord. Is this what you want me to do with my life after I retire? That was 4.5 years ago that I wrote that first prayer down. What do you think, God? This is my dream. It's big. For me, it's big. This spring, out of the blue, in 2.5 days, God answered prayer and the diner was on track. Crazy, ain't it? Think big. And guess what? It's more than I ever imagined. More than I ever imagined. Ain't that funny? Guys, write it down. 7:16-17. What's your Mount Everest? What's your Mount Everest? Go get you a composition book. I'm not talking about writing a chapter every day. I don't write in it every day. Give yourself about 5 minutes. Write your prayers to God and then check on it every few years or so. See how he's answered them. I'm going to tell you, when I got through reading that this weekend and this morning, I felt nothing but encouraged. You see, I'm getting sort of anxious now that I'm about to have to go to work. That it's really about to open. I'm getting sort of nervous and excited all at the same time. But as I read that, I became super diner man. But yet I was humble. Confident, humble. Confident, humble. God has done some things. Do you want big things in your life? Watch your mountain. Let's pray. My Lord, many of us have mountains this morning. Could be their spouse. Their spouse is a mountain. Could be habits. Could be people needing to change. Could be some challenges at work. Could be retirement. Could be new opportunities. Could be something that they got to walk away from and they're fearful of a big change. Whatever mountain it is, Lord, I pray that you move it from here to there. We want to go there. And we ain't quitting. We ain't letting go till we get all the way to the Jordan. We're going to be tenacious. Lord, we love you. It's in your name we pray. Amen.